For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Woo! Presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Presented by Michelob Ultra. Ben Brust alongside Alex Strope, who's in for Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio running the show, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. Chris in O-Town chimes in, the official unofficial, it's good that I'm in control, infidelity victim of the Scalzo and Brust family.
Which is the correct way to address him, by the way.
Thank you. Benny, don't trust the millennial Strofe who does tea wash after...
Doesn't, would be my guess. That's what he's looking for there.
How sure are you what you're reading right now?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did hear about this. I did hear about this. Strofe was on the show.
Who doesn't?
And
wash.
He doesn't wash his hands after peeing.
Well, not always. But also, you're the last person that's allowed to give me a hard time about my bathroom habits.
No.
You pee in bottles, or at least did. And you're not going to sit here and tell me you're using hand sanitizer sitting next to your bed when you do that.
You're
peeing in a bottle to go wash your hands. I'm not saying you can't grow as an individual, which, by the way, Josh, you'll be inclined to know I was thinking about you while I was peeing this weekend. And I did wash my hands every single time. Yeah,
every single time?
That's why I said it. Every
Give
single time.
Give a round of applause.
Three times
Congratulations,
today. Three times
Alex.
Today.
Also, Ben, you famously, I believe it was in about 2020, you were trying to figure out what was so important about washing your hands.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's
2023. It's a fair question. Oh, 2020, bad time. Yeah. 23, we can have that conversation. Absolutely.
No,
and I think he's onto something there.
Like, we all, you know... I was kind of with you, Strofe, when I was listening, and then you took it a little far about the non-washing the hands thing.
What percent, Ben, would you say when you go number one, do you wash your hands with soap?
I'm hitting at a higher clip. So
here
I would say
here comes
yeah, how high?
Well, hang on. I would probably say
high?
I was at a 20-30% clip
okay.
in 2020.
Okay.
I'm probably hitting at a 60-70% clip because I was even thinking like, all right, at Dead & Company, did I wash my hands? I think I walked out one time not washing my hands.
I washed my hands every time.
How many times did you go to the bathroom?
Pretty gross.
I had to go tinker.
How many
quite
times
a bit.
Did you guys go to the bathroom? Because yeah, you're there, I mean, what, four hours, you said?
We also started having beverages at like two.
It's very, very common to go to the bathroom when you're drinking
and
all day.
All the, I mean,
well, right.
thanks to the people of Wrigley and Michelob Ultra, they're not just giving you cans of beer.
No,
those
no,
are
no,
big,
those
dogs.
Are big dogs. Big dogs.
Big dogs.
They can
I
be
like
intimidating
those. Like
at times.
Things.
They definitely
so,
can be.
So, as we know, this famously happened where you gave a percentage of how much of the tire changing you did for your girlfriend, and you said yourself at 60, 70. I'm giving you actually 50-50 on washing your hands, which I will still say is an improvement, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Round of applause for me.
Yes, here you go.
Yeah!
No,
washing
no.
my hands at a 50% clip in public places.
Wait.
How old are you?
Why are we waiting? What's the wait for?
You slipped in something there at the end in public places.
At public places.
Who washes their hands at home?
I mean, I don't every time, but I do.
Well, here... No.
Wait, are we talking number two as well here? You ever not washing your hands at home after number two?
Let me do some research. Let me chart this.
Do some research. Okay. You think about that.
I'll
Anything
chart this at
over
home.
60% is a lot.
Here's the thing. For somebody who washes their hand every time when it comes to number two, I wouldn't have to do research on that. So
right.
I'm probably hitting at a 70% clip there. Maybe
no
I'm 50.
No way.
No, I mean, I thought we were just talking about at home. I'm over
70%. Do you live with your girlfriend? Do you live with your girlfriend?
I don't, and in any discussions about living together, the bathroom is the biggest point of concern.
Oh, really? So what is brought up? What is brought up when that's addressed about living together? Because yeah, as we've talked about on the show before, I've
nothing
lived with my girlfriend now a year.
Nothing to do with the washing of the hands, more so the basket of wipes that I put my wipes in, the hair that is left on this. Like the hair, but the hair's common. That's going to happen.
Your hair?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh,
like
beard hair.
Shave.
Beard hair.
Like that's going to happen.
Sure.
But there's one sink in the bathroom that I have. And so that's her big issue. She wants her own sink and her own shower. And I'm just like, sorry, Missy. I can't do anything.
Beggars can't
about
be choosers.
That.
Beggars can't be choosers. You're right about that. Now, the cleaning habits of the bathroom is always a big topic with me. You'll never guess who was on his hands and knees scrubbing the shower this morning, Benny. Guess who was on his hands and knees scrubbing the shower for the
Jesse Nelson
second time since we've lived in that apartment? No, it was me. It was me. We've lived there a year. I've scrubbed the shower now twice. Pretty big stuff.
Yeah,
occurring
see, that's
this morning
the thing
the
is,
Strobe
I've
household.
Now lived there 6 months and I have not cleaned the shower.
How about the toilet? You got to clean the toilet once a week.
Well, what
once
what,
a week?
What
you
qualifies as cleaning the toilet? Like just using the toilet like, stuff in the thingamajig that you're jamming in
the brush?
I'll do that a lot. I do that a lot.
Because you and I both have tummy issues. We've both been on the record about this. I need to do it at least once a week, if not twice a week. Clean the toilet in its entirety. And I don't trust that you're as clean as me in that regard.
I mean, I have tummy issues, but I usually hit the water. I mean, what's going on with you, Stro?
We don't need more detail.
This toilet's water tends to underflow is what's going on. Yeah. So it's a fair point.
You can call Brust Plumbing. We'll take care of that.
Is that a real thing?
It was. It was my dad's business, and unfortunately, I got none of his handy skills. How did we get to hand washing? I'm in. You know what? I have no one to blame today. I'm in the captain's seat.
Yeah,
and I did not take control.
The text message.
What text?
Best friend. That's what you read.
The infidelity victim. Do we not? This happened 4 minutes ago. How horrible is your memory? You read that message no less than 4 minutes ago.
I was at Den Company on Friday. Take it easy on the memory, dude.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
You've had 72 full hours to recover.
Still,
you're not 60 years old.
And it's
you don't get 3 day hangovers.
Well, it doesn't help that it's 77 in here either.
I mean,
this is
all time excuse train.
My goodness. Just take some accountability, man.
I went to a concert on Friday and I'm hot.
I need a water Joe.
I played basketball in Wisconsin a decade ago. Watch it.
I need a water Joe. It's water worth a work ethic, and it's clean, healthy energy. I had a lot of energy this weekend. I need some clean, healthy energy with water Joe. No alternative taste. Think sugary sodas, energy drinks. Like you look at those labels, it's absolutely horrible. No off taste. It tastes just like water. 85 milligrams of caffeine. So when you get your water Joe, it's that clean, healthy pick me up that you need. You can get the pick me up at any of your favorite retailers. Water Joe. It's amazing. I said I wanted to get to Greg Jennings and Randall Cobb. We're going to hit that next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. I'm in charge, and I will not let us get off track.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
I thought to myself, man, I got to go out and have a beer with these clowns. They're pulling off this kind of stuff, talking about dude wiping his hinder or not wiping whatever it was. And it went off the rails, and I was like, man, these guys got these people to pay them to do this on the radio.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Ron in the Key chimes in. Did Ben talk about the concert yet? Yes, we did to start the show. Josh, we'll get that up as soon as possible. Scalzo and Brust, wherever you get your podcast, or just go to Wisconsin On Demand. And we could get can we get Terrence and Tosa on to talk Brewers? I think we're getting close. We got to let the ticking time bomb tick a little bit more. I think we need Terrence and Tosa at a level 11 mad in order for him to be on the show. He's probably at 8.5 right now. Is that fair, Josh?
That is fair. There's two things I know about Terrence and Tosa. One, if he's got something he's dying to say about the Brewers, he generally approaches me. And two, when he truly gets mad, you can find it on his Twitter account, which I follow closely during any Brewers type thing. So he hasn't rung the bell yet. That's not to say it isn't far away, but I'm gonna let him come to it naturally.
You can't force it. You got to let Terrence come to you when he's hot on the Brewers. I will say, no matter what happens, trade deadline, we'll likely hear from him.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. That's the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. And this is Scalzo and Brust presented by Michelob Ultra. Ben Brust here alongside Alex Strofe, who's in for Greg Scalzo. And so, you know, recently Aaron Rodgers has been on his, I would say, his newlywed phase of just being single away from the Green Bay Packers. And Joshy, I want to hear from Aaron talk about just what it's been like for him in his first couple, I'd say month and a half in the big city.
But the on-the-field stuff was really important as we start to work through some of the adjustments and signals and just kind of being the other voice in the room with Hack in the installs and in the QB room. You know, it was a lot of fun, actually. The last 6 weeks have been about the most fun I've had in a while. So it's fun to come to work and be excited about what we're doing.
I feel like we're getting to a point now where you have two viewpoints of Aaron. You either love him or hate him. Like, he's really not a middle guy anymore. And so I'm going to take two Packer wide receivers that have been pretty publicly for or against Aaron. And obviously the one against him most is Greg Jennings. He's called Aaron out publicly for his leadership. He's called him selfish in ways, talked about how he set back the Packers from going even further. And then you got a guy like Randall Cobb, who, let's just say, like, that's a ride-or-die guy for Aaron. They live in they're going to live in the same cul-de-sac once they retire. Let's just say he's the Thanasis to Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's not compare Cobb to Thanasis. I'm not doing that trophy because Cobb was obviously a very good NFL player. But at this point in his career, I don't know if he would be.
I like the comp.
You kind of see where I'm going. He's along for the ride because of the star. Which viewpoint are you closer towards on the Aaron side of things, the Jennings or Randall Cobb?
Which one am I closer to? Probably Cobb, right? Like, I think Greg Jennings was mostly out of spite, a lot of those things he said over the years, right? And he won a Super Bowl here. You'd think he just let it be, let it live. But then he did the old Packer, adage, which was go to the Vikings after you're a Packer. And it made him bitter. And that's what's happened with Za'Darius Smith as well, who's now in Cleveland after being pushed out of Minnesota. I view Cobb is probably more of the honest, straightforward guy. I tend to believe more that of what comes out of Randall Cobb's mouth in relation to Aaron Rodgers than what comes out of Greg Jennings. But, I mean, as most things are, the truth probably lies somewhere in between. But I'd say I'm closer to Cobb than I am Jennings. I'm very far away from Jennings. Strophy. He pissed me off too much as a Packers fan.
Strophy's a big middle guy. You can see it both ways today. Joshy, I know where you're going to go. Give me your best Greg Jennings argument.
I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's not just recently, even though Aaron Rodgers hammering it home the past 6 weeks the way he was, the way how he hasn't hesitated to sort of subtly send shots without saying the Packers' name, to go to every event and seem like the happiest guy. He loves all his teammates. He loves the young guys. He's doing everything he needs. He's showing up. It's just that Greg Jennings was right all along. That's the simplest way for me to put it. Greg Jennings was talking about Aaron Rodgers at a time when all of us were doing it's the defense's fault. It's the coach's fault. It's everyone else's fault. Now, a lot of times, some of that did bear a burden, a portion of the truth. But to see the way things have gone recently with Aaron Rodgers, the way last year played out, he gave up on that team. He wasn't giving his full effort. That wasn't what... when he got on the field, that was Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers because he's a competitor. He's going to give his all. But all the small things it takes to take a young wide receiver core to the next level, he just stopped doing because he was checked out and he wanted nothing to do with the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is selfish. He's concerned with only himself and how all the moves around the Packers just affected him.
So I see your point. Yeah, but I just think it's too small of a sample size in terms of like what you're pointing to and what he was not able to do in terms of bringing the team last year together as a leader. I can make an argument as like I can see why at his age he was like, screw this, I don't want to do this. It still baffles me. I still don't know why he was offered the extension, and I still don't know why he took it because of the broken marriage between him and Goot.
Because Aaron Rodgers always takes the most money.
But he could also have probably gotten the most money elsewhere, somehow, some way, right? Like, if he really demanded a trade,
absolutely,
he would have got the money elsewhere. So it's hard for me to just...
Self back-to-back MVP seasons.
It's hard for me to point just money. It was in front of him. So, of course, it's more likely that he's going to take it when
you see
it.
You're not allowed to take money from people if you're still under contract, which he was because he got an extension most recently. And the reason there was an extension in there because it... You know, the idea was to give him his final run in Green Bay and to settle the money and make it possible to add other players, stuff along that line.
I'm just like, I'm probably obviously closer to Randall Cobb on this one is because, like, the way you talk about Aaron Rodgers, like, enjoying the six weeks of being in New York, like, isn't it a possibility that he actually is enjoying that? Like, sure, there are some subtle shots that he's taking. You can feel them towards the Packers, trying to get at them. But that also is part of the competitor in him, I guess, and I don't blame him for that, right? If he thinks he was wronged, even if he's wrong in thinking in how he was wronged, I could definitely see why he's taking shots at the Green Bay Packers. But I also feel like he's definitely enjoying his time in a new place. Like, there's something to being in one place for 18 years.
Right.
And doing the same thing over and over and over again. And getting a fresh start in a place where everywhere you go, 99% of people are going to embrace you. Even Aaron, who spoke up against Big Pharma, was welcomed with a big hug by the owner of the Jets.
Just because he's a fraud and doesn't mean what he says.
I'm just saying.
I think it's fair what you're saying and how that could certainly be playing a factor. But Aaron Rodgers, how much he talks about his privacy and wanting to stay out of the limelight, he's gone. Like, we commented on how he wouldn't get out in front of a podcast mic for, like, the past 2 years. It seemed every time he could talk, he did talk. His attitude is completely different. And if you think Aaron Rodgers isn't thinking about how this is going to be perceived by Packers fans, by Packers players, and by the Packers front office, you're out of your mind to me. Like, this is... I know he's trying to appease the new people he's with, but the guy's at the Tony Awards. Why is Aaron Rodgers at the Broadway Awards? Of all the things Aaron Rodgers
how do you not... Don't you know he's a
lover
big
of the theater,
guy?
Josh?
Not only did Aaron Rodgers change his physical appearance when he cut his hair to look different and more acceptable to a crowd in New York, he's like changed the way he behaves and the things he does. He's now in front of a camera at every opportunity he can get. That is all intentional. And it's much like an ex would be on social media. Hey, look at me. I'm having all this fun without you guys.
Yeah. Would you agree with me here, Josh? Because I really don't think that this is towards Packer fans. Like, I know he wants Packer fans to still love him. The fact of the matter is, no matter who I'm talking to right now, when Aaron Rodgers retires, you're going to end up like remembering him for a lot of the good, unless you like truly, truly hate the person. Right? Now, I think everything he's doing is strictly to get, like, this is a Goot thing. I think it's him versus Goot in the court of public opinion. Even if it's done, I think Aaron is so petty in trying to get across to Goot. Look what you're missing. Look, you moved on. Look what you're gonna miss. And I think he's like, I think the same chip that he had on his shoulder when Goot drafted Jordan Love, it has nothing to do with the Super Bowl trophy walks by in New York, or Robert Saleh versus Matt LaFleur, or the offense that he has in New York. It's the motivation for Aaron Rodgers is to stick it to Goody.
I agree with you in the general sense. I do think it's pretty easy for him to see how the fallout would then affect the Packers fans and the people who have rooted for him for the past 18 years. Like, it's not that hard to imagine, even though this is aimed at Mark Murphy and Goody. Those are the two people who he wants to know this. That it's also Packer fans too, though. Packers fans, they claim to be owners. They buy stock in the team. And he's taking a shot at Green Bay fans and the way the Green Bay Packers are run. People are going to be Green Bay Packers fans with or without Aaron Rodgers. He's hammering home the point that what I was going through was terrible and everything is better here in New York City.
Strophe, do you know anybody that hates Aaron Rodgers more than Josh DiMaggio?
I work with Jim Rutledge pretty closely. So, I mean, they're neck and neck at the top of the list for sure. But to your point, Josh, I understand your point of winning the breakup, right? Everybody's used the breakup analogy when analyzing this Packers-Jets trade over the course of the last few months. And yeah, maybe Rodgers is petty. We'll all agree on that. But I don't view what we just played as a shot at Green Bay. You lived in New York, Josh. You've been to Green Bay many a times. They're very different cities. There's a lot more stuff to do in New York City than there is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, my hometown, which has 100,000 people in it. You can't go to Broadway shows. You can't go to Knicks games in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's a lot more to do. I understand why he's having fun after being in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 18 years like I was. There's a lot more to do in Madison and Milwaukee than Green Bay. So I don't view that at all as a shot at the Packers or Brian Gutekunst. I have no idea how you're interpreting it that way.
Let me tell you why you couldn't be more historically wrong than you are in this very
yes!
moment.
Historically
Aaron
wrong?
Rodgers hasn't showed up to the offseason in Green Bay the past 3 years. He could be out doing all the things he's doing because he wasn't showing up to OTAs. He has all the time. He has all the time in the world the past 3 years to do that stuff. He can fly private to New York. He could fly anywhere he wanted to do anything he wanted. He chose not to do those things because he didn't have
the MVP back-to-back years. What are we doing here? He went back-to-back MVPs when not attending the offseason program.
What are you talking about? It's not his play. We're talking about his comments and how he's sticking it to the Packers and Packers fans.
Because he showed up to the offseason programs on a brand new team with a personnel he doesn't
know.
He hasn't worked with
before
outside of
Randall
Cobb.
How many brand new players were on the Packers last year in the receiving corps?
Alan Lazard was there at least. I mean, it's not a brand new offense entirely. I understand. I'm with you. I wish he would have been there, but I'm not mad at him for not being there. It wouldn't have affected the outcome of the season whatsoever if he was there.
So, I don't know how... I'm shocked by that from Strofe, to be honest.
What, that it would affect the outcome? You think 2 weeks of practice, 2 weeks of practice in May?
I don't think it would affect the outcome. I just thought you'd have been dumb brain enough to believe that it would have affected the outcome because you bleed green and gold.
I do believe green and gold, but I'm not an idiot entirely. No. I am sometimes.
Green and white.
Watch it, Josh.
Jets fan.
Big Daddy G1 and talking about the Green Bay Packers. When you buy a car, you normally do get rid of the older model. Oh, gosh. Chris in O-Town. Mixing a
Stop
water,
Stop reading
man.
Them if you don't know what they say. He just doesn't know how to spell the word don't. It says D-O space T. That means don't. This is the second text in 30 minutes that's had the same issue.
Whoa.
It's angry.
I'm just proofreading.
I'm just telling him.
I'm lashing out. I'm sorry.
I'm just telling him mix in a water. I'm looking out for our guy. That's
I
it.
Got in this kitchen.
Yeah. Jason Wilde joins us next on Scalzo and Brust. Take a breather, Strofe.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
But like, how did you miscalculate the fart?
It's just like, it was a miscalculation. And I was really hoping it wasn't, and it was gross because
we don't need this.
Yeah,
detail.
You don't need
so
details.
So you pooped your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Don't need drama, I just need one word to get to you. Tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you. And every Saturday night that you wait, keep my tears blue. And these blinding lights, they shine so bright like we're on the moon.
I want to
dance another beat, no.
Presented by Michael
Unless
Ball.
It's with you. Dancing feet.
From Zen Company
Need some
on
good
Friday
vibes.
With Josh DiMaggio and Greg Scalzo to Kygo. Jason Wilde joins us. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch across these very airwaves from 9 to noon. This is Scalzo and Brust presented by Michelob Ultra. Alex Strofe in for Greg Scalzo. Jason, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing good. I want to start here because, you know, Rob Domofsky, your buddy, wrote, you know, what he's looking forward to seeing most develop with the Packers as they head into the mandatory mini camps. And it just got me thinking outside of Jordan Love and how he's going to be most successful. What do you think the most important piece outside of Jordan Love himself this year is going to have to be for him to be successful? I said the defense.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Also, I would add that when it comes to seeing Jordan Love tomorrow and Wednesday, for me anyway, what I'm really eager to see, and I wrote this for tomorrow's State Journal, is how does he fare when he's not going against the fourth, fifth, and sixth corners? Throughout OTAs, most of his number one reps were against Keandre Thomas, Corey Ballantyne, and two other guys that are questionable to even make the roster, Shamar John Charles and Carrington Ballantyne. And starting tomorrow, assuming that they are showing up for the mandatory minicamp, I wouldn't think they would skip it, it's going to be Rasul Douglas and Jair Alexander, who have not been to a single OTA from what I understand. So they weren't there for the three that we watched. I don't think they were there for others. So to me, we're going to get a much better barometer of how Jordan Love gets the ball out on time, if guys are able to get open against top-quality NFL corners. Nothing against those other guys, but those guys are fighting for a roster spot. They're not experienced, and it makes it a little bit easier for your wide receivers to get open on time. So as far as Jordan Love goes, that's the thing that I'm going to be watching the most. In terms of what can help Jordan Love the most next season, you know, I think it's A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. Like, I would agree with you that their defense needs to be good, and I just don't have the – after last year, I'm not willing to expect that from them. I'm willing to expect them to be good, but not, like, elite. And if they're able to do that, I'll believe it when I see it. So, to me, I think an effective running game. And then the other thing that – you know, obviously, if you listen or if you read Matt Schneidman's piece on The Athletic with all of those Aaron Rodgers quotes a couple weeks ago, when it came to talking about the performance that Jordan Love had against Kansas City, Brian Gutekunst basically threw Matt LaFleur and the pass protection under the bus and said that they didn't have a good game plan for the Chiefs. And that's why Jordan Love struggled. So a good running game and good protection would eliminate any options for excuses as to why Jordan Love doesn't succeed.
Jason, you bring up the defense, and I'm so curious on what the expectation should be about them, right? Last year we played that Mina Kimes clip a million times, saying they should be top three. I'm thinking they should be top 12, top 10, but that's not the question I have for you. It is, how is he seen in the room? I remember last year, Jair Alexander, after he didn't cover Justin Jefferson enough, you know, kind of lit up Joe Barry to the media. How is he being respected and viewed by some of the players in that defensive room?
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that in the aftermath of, say, their win over the Vikings where Justin Jefferson was a non-factor, I didn't get the sense from Jair Alexander that he was ready to give all praise to Joe Barry. There were guys on defense that praised the fact that Joe Barry simplified things and let them have more of a voice than they had earlier in the season, and I think that's a good thing to hear if you're a Packers fan. But again, they're going to have some uncertainty at the safety position. They're going to start a guy that they benched, and then they're going to have to start someone new because they moved on from Adrian Amos. They're going to have some really young guys on their defensive line, and they weren't very good stopping the run last year, so I guess the bar isn't all that high, but they're going to have even more inexperienced guys in those roles. I do think they're going to move Quay Walker around a lot, and I think he's going to make things really interesting. I think they're going to find a role on passing downs for Lucas Van Ness. But I struggle to see this kind of this cup running over of great defensive talent. They've certainly spent a lot of draft picks, first-round draft picks on defense. But, you know, DeVondre Campbell, would the real DeVondre Campbell please stand up? Was it the guy in 2021 that went from a journeyman to a first-team All-Pro? Or was it the guy last year who had some injury problems, didn't play very well when he was healthy, didn't have a whole lot of impact plays? I don't know the answer to that. I look forward to finding out. But if they have guys, you know, does Rasul Douglas play at the level that he did when he came in 2021, when he led them in interceptions in about half a season? And does he lock down opposing receivers on one side while Jair Alexander locks down the other guy? Like, if that kind of stuff all happens, then yeah, I like their chances of being able to be pretty good defensively, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Talking with Jason Wilde here on Scalzo and Brust across ESPN Wisconsin. Catch Wilde and Tausch from 9 to noon on these very stations. Also get their podcast at Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Jason, if you could, based off of what you've seen over the last 3 years, give a comp to what Jordan Love is in terms of the to a quarterback in the NFL, who would you give the comp to?
I don't think we have, you know, nearly enough evidence to be comparing him to anyone, because I just, like, it doesn't matter what I see in training camp. And frankly, I don't see enough practices during the season, because we get kicked out before the 11-on-11 period starts. So, you know, one of my things that irritates me to no end is I hear a clip of Keyshawn Johnson saying, from what little I've seen, I think he's going to be good. I think he can be a Pro Bowl quarterback. From what little you've seen, you can make that level of a judgment? You've seen less than I have. And I find it unlikely that you were watching that Chiefs game as closely as I was. So,
or garbage time against Philly.
Right, or the second half against Detroit. I mean, that's really the entirety of his resume. I doubt Keyshawn's sitting watching the preseason games as closely as I am either. So, to me, the bottom line is this. I think he's got some talent. He's got some ability. There's no doubt about it. How that all comes together and how this coaching staff protects him and makes it easier on him, that's what this is all going to come down to. And then on top of that, does he execute when the chips are on the table, both in the first quarter when he might have some, you know, nerves or anxiety, and when the game is on the line late in the game? Like, so it's not an easy job, and I don't think we have any idea how he's really going to perform. And frankly, I don't think the Packers do either. I think they have hopes, they have expectations, they have needs of how well he has to perform, but I just don't think they know. And you know what was interesting in that Scheinman piece from a couple weeks ago is, It did make me wonder that if Rodgers isn't such a difficult personality and doesn't break his thumb, and so he plays at a pretty high level again last year, not MVP, but still really high, is what he said to Matt about them basically telling him that he'd be around and that they'd move on from Jordan Love, is that what they really would have done? That's an alternative universe that I would love to know what would have happened in.
Jason, quickly before we go, what did you think of Dunzo the Clown today on your show?
I thought it was outstanding. I thought it was a little premature to do to a Brewers team that obviously has problems and obviously, after a very hot start, is struggling, but it's also had a bunch of injury issues in the pitching staff and isn't able to score runs. But boy, nothing brings a smile to my face quite the way Dunzo does.
Jason, thanks for the time. As always, enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde here. I'm on Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. I got to give a shout-out to one of the best places in the world, and they have a wonderful weekend coming up. If you are looking for Father's Day plans, if you're looking for something fun to do, it's at Road America. Make the most out of your summer, and especially this weekend with the NTT IndyCar Series in the area. That's right. We live in Wisconsin with a 4-mile road course, the largest in North America. And you can come June 15th through the 18th and get your tickets at roadamerica.com for the Soncio Grand Prix. It's amazing. Kids 16 and under. Think about that. If you're looking for something to do, you go to all these events, There's no 16 and under free for kids. There is a Road America, I can tell you that much. And if you're looking for fun off the track, fun on the track, you can camp on site, free parking. I mean, it's amazing. Like, everything that they're able to offer you, the free admission for kids 16 and under, it doesn't get any better than that. Again, the NTT IndyCar Series Sonsio Grand Prix is coming this weekend. So if you don't get to roadamerica.com and get your tickets today, you are doing it wrong. Road America, come for the experience and stay for the race. Aaron Rodgers attended the Tonys. I'm saying that with a question mark because I didn't want to get it wrong. Alex Stroff has some thoughts. Look forward to hearing about them next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Do you know where your pee comes from?
The digestive system? What are you talking about? It starts in my mouth, goes down the esophagus.
Keep going.
To the stomach, to the small intestine, to the large intestine, the small or large.
No, that would go out the anus.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Jason in Madison chimes in, 800-990-3776, 64270.
No big deal.
64270.
No big deal.
Thank you very much, Joshy. How you doing, my brothers? Please tell the Strofinator to chill a bit or there could be problems. Love you guys, except Strofe, of course. We got you, Jason. All is good here. We'll keep him in check.
What the hell's going on here?
We need you
to
take care of
him. The only thing I've said in the last 25 minutes is I asked Jason Wilde about Joe Barry. Is Jason Madison a big Joe Barry guy? My bad, Jason.
No, you got mad at me.
I'm
going to
offend you about my Joe Barry question.
I think you came at Joshy a little bit, and that's not appreciated by our guy, Jason. Just wanted to let that be known. On Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust, we put out a picture from our adventure. Josh DiMaggio, Greg Scalzo, and myself, Ben Brust, we went to Dead & Company at Wrigley Field. We got the cliche picture in front of the score. It's not a scoreboard. What do they call that thing in the front?
It's like the bulletin, the marquee.
Thank you.
Marquee.
So we got that picture, and Josh, I didn't know you were going to do this. Did at Ben Brust pull off the tie-dye shirt, or does he look like a narc? Shockingly, everyone said narc, except one person says he looks relaxed and not like a narc at all. I'm shocked. I'm starting to think that might be a lie. I think there might be some sarcasm in there because literally every other response is calling me a narc. And when I look at that picture, I look like a big stiff. I don't look chill. I don't look relaxed at all. Cone Roller chimes in. I don't know what the hell that means. He came up to me at the show, stole my joint, put it out right in front of me. Definitely a narc. I did not do that. Joshy, I did not do that. Please confirm.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Joshy!
I didn't see it. I didn't see.
Remember
you when
you got lost?
Yeah, it could have happened when Joshy wasn't there. You know, exactly. He didn't have eyes on me at all times.
When you were, I mean, I caught you once coming back from the bathroom, and you were zipping around that place, so who knows what you could have gotten into.
Rich Pecker chimes in. Good one, Rich. Narc. Oh. Ha ha ha. He looks so out of place. I agree. I look out of place. And you know who might be out of place, but it faked it better than me, is Aaron Rodgers at the Tonys. The Tony Awards out in Broadway. Broadway Aaron. Strofe, you're a big fan of the Tonys.
No, I'm not, but I would like to peel back the fourth wall here, peel back the curtain a little bit. So we were talking about this prior to the show, and we said Aaron Rodgers at the Tonys, and you asked us what, Ben? What was your question to us?
What are the Tonys?
That was exactly your question. And I told you it is the awards essentially for theater. And you said, I am a theater fraud, so I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
First off, who do you think is more of a theater fraud, you or Rodgers?
Me. No, I don't know. I don't know. I can sing.
I don't
the greatest,
know, man.
I can sing the greatest showman in his entire album.
I think
Footloose.
I might be Team. Yeah. I'm Team Joshy here. I think you're less of a theater fraud than Aaron Rodgers. Also, CJ Uzama, the tight end of the Jets, was there as well. Which
I don't know Uzama. You don't know his background in theater. We know that Aaron Rodgers fake reads.
CJ is just filling the David Bakhtiari role, the guy who's going to say all the things Aaron Rodgers wants
to say. More of a Bobby Tonyan role because they were boys, and he wants to catch some passes as he's a veteran.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. All right. So there are four major award shows, Ben, every year for different categories. There is an acronym that I said to you 2 hours ago, and I don't know how well you said your memory isn't super hot today. So do you remember the acronym I presented to you?
Not the acronym, but we could maybe put it together if there's four of them. Like, there's four letters.
Yeah, there's four major award shows, and one of them is the Tonys.
Emmys.
Yep.
Grammys.
Yep.
So the
yep, you're missing one.
Emmys. Gosh. Grammys is music.
Uh-huh.
You're Emmys, missing the biggest one.
Emmys is TV.
Uh-huh.
What's the movies
Good job.
One?
That's what we're trying to know if you know.
The Golden Globes?
Same idea, I guess. He's half right, right?
You're in the ballpark.
Like, I know this. An Oscar.
Yeah.
There you go. Nicely done. The acronym now?
TEGO.
Can you figure out the acronym? Oh, no.
T-E-G-O? T-E-G-O?
No.
I right. like that, actually. It's not
right
bad,
now,
but it's wrong.
I'm playing Wordle
yes,
right now.
Keep organizing.
Did I get,
you're playing
did
Wordle
I, did
on
I get
the radio.
Of the letters right in the right place?
No, you didn't. You got all of them wrong.
Ghetto?
Nope.
G-E-T-O?
Nope.
Nope, that's
is this
not
a
it
commonly
either.
Known acronym?
It gets said
absolutely.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Any letters in the right place there?
No.
No.
No. None
so
of them right.
So it starts with a vowel?
Uh-huh.
It does start with a vowel. That is correct. Good job. Process of elimination here.
Etko?
Closer.
Closer. Closer. Wait, hold on. What'd you just say?
Etko, E-T-G-O?
Etko? Yeah, you're getting closer, but you're wrong. E is correct.
So that's it. That's all I got. E is correct.
Yep.
Yep.
EGOT?
Yeah!
EGOT! EGOT! You got it.
I would have passed
can you
on
name
Wordle.
One person? Can you name one person that's won an EGOT?
Like all four of them?
All four of them. That is the
prestigious.
That's
what we're doing here. The reason there's an acronym is because somebody wins all four of those awards.
Really? How many are there?
Only few people. Like probably like 40, maybe 20.
Have I heard of one of 25. Them, Josh?
Yes.
Yes, you've heard of several of them.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is not one all four.
Think of somebody who would release music.
Kanye West.
Benny, I'll give you a hint. I'll just tell you, regardless of how idiotic this conversation is, all of me loves all of you.
That's great, but I got to give away some tickets.
That's not helping him at all.
Yeah, I got to give away some tickets. It's time to give away some tickets to the U.S. Senior Open, 2023 U.S. Senior Open. These tickets are good for any one day, and they're gallery passes for the 2023 U.S. Senior Open at Century World. Right, Joshy?
Correct.
Sure, right. So they're valued at $50. So this
Stephen's
is a
point.
Great chance for you to get involved with the U.S. Senior Open. We'll be giving away tickets right now, 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-ESPN. Call for your chance to win some tickets. Good any day. We'll do this all week, 800-990-3776. Joe and Amber up next in Beaver Dam. What else we got? Everywhere? On the tee here. Great day, and we'll figure it out. Enjoy what's next.